end up like me, sitting behind this counter 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, waiting for tourists to come in. I wait here because I am too afraid to go out and do what you are doing. Get through your fears and the world will open up. Give in to your fears and your world will get smaller every year. To this day, I give thanks to that wise older man. After I began to overcome my fear of selling, Rich Dad had me join the Toastmasters organization to learn to overcome my fear of speaking in front of large groups. When I complained to Rich Dad, he replied, "All great leaders are great public speakers. Leaders of great businesses need to be great communicators. If you want to be a leader, you must be a speaker." Today, I can speak comfortably to tens of thousands of people in convention halls because of my training in sales and my early training from the Toastmasters organization. If you are thinking about starting your own B Quadrant business, I recommend those same two skills. First, develop the skill to overcome your fears, to overcome rejection, and to communicate the value of your product or service. Second, develop the skill of speaking to large groups of people and keeping them interested in what you have to say. As Rich Dad said to me, there are speakers that no one listens to. There are salespeople that cannot sell. There are advertisers that no one watches. There are entrepreneurs that cannot raise capital. And there are business leaders that no one follows. If you want to be successful in the B Quadrant, don't be any of those people. My first book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, has had some amazing runs on bestseller lists around the world, including the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Straits Times, Sydney Morning Herald, and dozens of others. When other authors ask me what my secret is to getting on those lists, I simply repeat a sentence from Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I am not a best writing author. I am a best-selling author. I add that I flunked out of high school twice because I could not write and that I never even kissed a girl in high school because I was too shy. I end by saying the same thing my rich dad said to me. Unsuccessful people find their strengths and spend their lives making their strengths stronger, often ignoring their weaknesses, until one day their weaknesses cannot be ignored anymore. Successful people find their weaknesses and make them strengths. A person's physical appearance often communicates far more than their words. Often, people who come to me with a business plan or to ask for money look like mice that have been chewed on by a cat. No matter how good their plan, their physical appearance is a limiting factor. In public speaking, it is said that body language accounts for approximately 55% of communication, voice tone 35%, and words 10%. If you remember President Kennedy, JFK, he had 100% working for him, and it made him a very powerful communicator. While not all of us can be as physically attractive as he was, we can all do our best to dress and groom appropriately to make our points stronger. An investigative TV program recently sent in very attractive job applicants and unattractive job applicants with exactly the same qualifications on their resumes to interview for the same jobs. It was interesting to note that the attractive applicants got more job offers than the unattractive ones. A friend of mine sits on the board of a bank and shared with me that the president they had just hired was brought on board because of his appearance. He looks like a president. When I asked about his qualifications, all he said was, his appearance was his qualification. He looks like a bank president should look and speaks in the way a bank president should speak. The board will run the business. We just want him to attract new customers. I use this example for anyone who says, oh, my appearance does not matter. In the world of business, appearance is a powerful communicator. Repeating an old cliche, you have only one chance to make a first impression. the difference between sales and marketing. While still on the subject of communications, Rich Dad insisted that Mike and I know the difference between sales and marketing. He would say, "Many business owners suffer with low sales or poor communications with staff and investors. If a business has strong and convincing marketing, the sales will come easily. If the business has weak marketing, the company must spend a lot of time and money and work very hard at gathering sales." He also said to Mike and me, "Once you learn to sell, you need to learn how to market. An S-quadrant business owner is often good at sales, but to be a successful B-quadrant business owner, you must be good at marketing as well as sales." He said, "Sales is what you do in person, one-on-one. Marketing is sales done via a system." Most S-quadrant business people are very good at one-on-one sales. For them, to make the transition to the B-quadrant, they need to learn how to sell through a system, which is called marketing. In conclusion, communications is a subject worthy of lifelong study because there is more to communication than just speaking, writing, dressing, or demonstrating. As Rich Dad said to me, "Just because you're speaking doesn't mean anyone is listening." When people ask where to start to build a strong communications foundation, I encourage them to begin with the two basic skills of selling one-on-one and public speaking to a group. I also advise them to carefully watch their results and listen for feedback. As you go through the process of transforming from a poor communicator to an excellent communicator with these two skills, you will find your fundamental everyday communication skills will also improve. When all three improve, you will see your cash flow increase as a result. Marketing and sales. Good first impressions are vital. Your marketing and sales efforts will often be the first impression your business makes on your potential customer. Whenever you are speaking, both your passion for your business and your appearance will have a lasting impact on your audience. Any published or printed material you produce or distribute is also important. It is a public representation of your business. Marketing is selling through a system. Always make sure you know your audience and that your marketing tool has been designed for that audience. In every marketing or sales effort, include these three key ingredients: identify a need, provide a solution, and answer your customer's question, "What's in it for me?" with a special offer. Communicate a sense of urgency for the customer to respond. External and internal communication. Most communication is directed towards external communication, but a business's internal communication is also vitally important. Some examples of each are external communication, sales, marketing, customer service, investor relations, public relations. Internal communication, sharing wins and successes with your entire team. Regular meetings with employees. Regular communication with advisors. Human resource policies. One of the most powerful forms of communication that affects a business is one over which you have little control: the communication from your existing customers to your potential customers. We attribute a large part of our success at the Rich Dad Company to our customers telling other people about us. The power of this word-of-mouth advertising is immeasurable. This form of advertising can drive a company to success or failure very quickly. For this reason, customer service is a vital communications function for any company. When you buy a franchise or join a network marketing company, the communication systems are often provided for you. In addition, their communication materials have already been proven successful by other franchisees or members of your organization. You therefore have a tremendous head start over people trying to develop their own materials. These people won't know if their materials are successful until they use them and measure the results. The ability to speak is vital to building a successful business. The personal development and mentoring programs offered by select franchises and network marketing organizations provide wonderful opportunities for personal growth. Chapter 34, Systems Management. The human body is a system of systems. So is a business. The human body is made up of a circulatory system, respiratory system, digestive system, and so on. If one of those systems stops, there is a good chance the body will be crippled or die. The same is true with a business. A business is a complex system of interoperating systems. In fact, each item listed within the inner triangle of the BI triangle is a separate system that is linked to the other systems and into the overall business that the triangle represents. It is difficult to separate the systems because they are interdependent. It is also difficult to say that one is more important than another. For any business to grow, specific individuals must be accountable for each of the systems, and a general overall director must be in charge of making sure all the systems operate at their highest capacity. When reading a financial statement, I am like a pilot sitting in the cockpit of the plane reading the gauges from all the operating systems. If one of the systems begins to malfunction, emergency procedures must be implemented. Many small startup businesses or S-quadrant businesses fail because the operator of the system has too many systems to monitor and take care of. When one system fails, such as when cash flow dries up, all the other systems begin to fail almost simultaneously. It is like when a person gets a cold and fails to take care of it. Pneumonia soon sets in, and if it's not treated, the person's immune system begins to break down. I believe real estate is a great investment to start with because the average investor gets to tinker with all the systems. A building on a piece of land is the business, the system for which a tenant pays you rent. Real estate is fairly stable and inert, so it gives the new business person more time to correct things if something begins to go wrong. Learning to manage property for a year or two teaches you excellent business management skills. When people ask me where to find the best real estate investments, I say, just find someone who is a poor business manager and you will find a real estate bargain. But never buy a property just because it is a bargain. Some bargains are cleverly disguised nightmares. Banks like to lend money on real estate because it is generally a stable system that retains its value. Other businesses are often hard to finance because they may not be considered stable systems. I have often heard the following. The only time a bank will loan you money is when you don't need it. I see it differently. I have always found that the bank will loan you money when you have a stable system that has value and when you can demonstrate that the money will be paid back. A good business person can manage multiple systems effectively without becoming part of the system. A true business system is much like a car. The car does not depend upon only one specific person to drive it. Anyone who knows how to drive it can do so. The same is true for a B-quadrant business, but not necessarily for an S-quadrant business. In most cases, the person in the S-quadrant is the system. One day, I was considering starting a small coin shop that specialized in rare collectible coins, and Rich Dad said to me, "Always remember that the B-quadrant gets more money from investors because investors invest in good systems and people who can build good systems. Investors do not like to invest in businesses where the system goes home at night." Every business, whether large or small, needs to have systems in place to enable it to conduct its day-to-day activities. Even a sole proprietor has to wear different hats to conduct his or her business. In essence, the sole proprietor is all systems in one. The better the system, the less dependent you become on others. Look at McDonald's systems. It's the same everywhere in the world, and it's run by teenagers. This is possible because of the excellent systems in place. McDonald's depends on systems, not people. The role of a CEO. A CEO's job is to supervise all systems and identify weaknesses before the weaknesses turn into system failures. This can happen in many different ways, but it is exceptionally disconcerting when your company is growing rapidly. Your sales are increasing, your product or service is getting attention from the media, and suddenly, you can't deliver. Why? Usually it's because your systems imploded from the increased demand. You didn't have enough production capacity or enough hours in the week to meet the demand, or you didn't have the money to build the product or hire additional help. Whatever the reason, you missed the opportunity to move your business to the next level of success due to a failure of one of your systems. At each new level of growth, the CEO must start planning the systems needed to support the next level of growth, from production lines to lines of credit for production needs. Systems drive both cash flow management and communication. As your systems get better, you or your employees will have to exert less and less effort. Without well-designed and successful operating systems, your business will be labor-intensive. Once you have well-designed and successful operating systems, you will have a saleable business asset. Typical systems. In the next section is a list of typical systems that successful businesses must have. In some instances, the system required might be defined differently from the way it is listed, but it is still necessary to the business operations. For instance, product development systems might be procedures for providing services in a service organization. While the specifics may differ, the basic elements are the same. Both of these require the business to develop the product or service that it will ultimately offer to its customers. In the case of franchises and network marketing organizations, many of these systems are automatically provided. For the cost of the franchise or for the membership fee of the network marketing organization, you will be given an operations manual that describes the systems provided for your business. This is what makes these ready-made businesses so attractive to many people. If you want to build your own business, review the list of systems. Although you may be already performing many of these functions, you may not have defined them as separate systems. The more you can formalize your operations, the more efficient your business will become. Systems required by businesses for optimal efficiency. Daily office operations systems. Answering the telephone and 800 line system. Receiving and opening the mail. Purchasing and maintaining office supplies and equipment. Faxing and emailing. Dealing with incoming outgoing delivery needs. Backing up and archiving data. Product development systems. Developing product and protecting it legally. Developing packaging and collateral material, for example, catalogs. Developing manufacturing method and process. Developing manufacturing costing and bidding process. Manufacturing and inventory systems. Selecting vendors. Determining product or service warranties offered. Establishing product or service pricing, retail and wholesale. Establishing reorder process for inventory production. Receiving and storing product as inventory. Reconciling physical inventory with accounting records. Order processing systems. Taking and recording orders by mail, fax, phone, or online. Fulfilling and packaging the orders. Sending the orders. Billing and accounts receivable systems. Billing customers for the orders. Receiving payments for the orders and crediting customers for payment, whether cash, check, or credit card. Starting the collection process for delinquent receivables. Customer service systems. Returns procedure for inventory receiving and customer payment return. Responding to customer complaints. Replacing defective product or performing other warranty service. Accounts payable systems. Purchasing procedures and approvals required. Payment process for supplies and inventory. Petty cash. Marketing systems. Creating an overall marketing plan. Designing and producing promotional materials. Developing general leads and prospects. Creating an advertising plan. Creating a public relations plan. Creating a direct mail plan. Developing and maintaining a database. Developing and maintaining a website. Analyzing and tracking sales statistics. Human resources systems. Hiring procedures and employee agreements. Training employees. Payroll process and benefit plans. General accounting systems. Managing the accounting process with daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annual reports. Managing cash with future borrowing needs secured and available. Budgeting and forecasting. Reporting payroll taxes and withholding payments. General corporate systems. Negotiating, drafting, and executing contracts. Developing and protecting intellectual property. Managing insurance needs and coverage. Reporting and paying federal and state or other jurisdictional taxes. Planning for federal and state or other jurisdictional taxes. Managing and storing records. Maintaining investor-shareholder relations. Ensuring legal security. Planning and managing growth. Physical space management systems. Maintaining and designing telephone and electrical systems. Planning permits and fees. Licensing. Ensuring physical security. You may want to record your operations in a policies and procedures manual. Such a manual can become an invaluable reference to your staff. In creating the manual, you will find ways to streamline your operations and improve your profitability. You will also be a step closer to owning a B quadrant business. Chapter 35, Legal Management. This level of the BI triangle, legal management, was one of the most painful lessons I ever had to learn. My rich dad identified a serious flaw in my business. I had failed to secure the legal rights to the nylon and Velcro products I had designed before I started producing them. More specifically, I failed to patent some of my products. I failed to do so because I believed the $10,000 in patent attorney fees was too expensive and not important enough to spend that much money on. Another company quickly came along and copied my idea, and I could do nothing about it. Today, I am now an evangelist for the other side. Especially in the information age, your intellectual property attorney and your contract attorney are some of your most important advisors because they help you create your most important assets. These attorneys, if they are good, will protect your ideas and your agreements from intellectual bandits, people who steal your ideas and therefore your profits. The world of business is filled with stories of smart entrepreneurs with great ideas who begin selling their products or ideas before protecting them. In the world of intellectual property, once your idea is exposed, it is almost impossible to protect. Some time ago, a company came out with a spreadsheet program for small businesses. I bought this brilliant product for my company. A few years later, the company was out of business. Why? Because it had failed to patent its idea, and another company, which I will not mention, came along, took its idea, and put it out of business. Today, the company that took the idea is a prominent leader in the software business. It is said that Bill Gates became the richest man in the world with only an idea. In other words, he did not get rich by investing in real estate or factories. He simply took information, protected the information, and became the richest man in the world while still in his 30s. The irony of it all is that he didn't even create the Microsoft operating system. He bought it from other programmers, sold it to IBM, and the rest is history. Aristotle Onassis became a shipping giant with a simple legal document. It was a contract from a large manufacturing company guaranteeing him the exclusive rights to transport its cargo all over the world. All he had was this document. He owned no ships. Yet with this legal document, he was able to convince the banks to lend him the money to buy the ships. Where did he get the ships? He got them from the U.S. government after World War II. The U.S. government had a surplus of Liberty and Victory class ships used to haul war materials from America to Europe. There was one catch. In order to buy the ships, the person needed to be a U.S. citizen, and Onassis was a Greek citizen. Did that stop him? Of course it didn't. By understanding the laws of the B quadrant, Onassis purchased the ships using a U.S. corporation he controlled. This is another example of the laws being different for different quadrants. Protect your ideas. My intellectual property attorney is responsible for securing worldwide patents and trademarks for the Rich Dad Company. While we pay him and his firm considerable amounts of money each year, he has made us money and protected our rights to continue making money by protecting what we do and guiding us through some delicate negotiations. In summary, many a business has been started and has survived by a simple piece of paper. One legal document can be the seed of a worldwide business. Avoiding legal problems. Some of the most valuable assets you can own are the intangible assets called patents, trademarks, and copyrights. These legal documents grant you specific protection and ownership to your intellectual property. Without this type of protection, you risk losing everything. Once you have protected your rights, not only can you keep others from using your property, but you can also sell or license those rights and receive royalty income when doing so. Licensing your rights to a third party is a perfect example of your assets working for you. However, legal issues can also surface in almost every facet of a business. Obtaining competent legal counsel is very important, not only as you are forming your business, but as an ongoing part of your advisory team's activities. Legal fees may seem expensive at first. However, when you compare them to the cost of legal fees from lost rights or subsequent litigation, it is much less expensive to set out your agreements properly in the beginning. In addition to the monetary expense, you must also factor in the cost of lost time. Instead of focusing on your business, you may be forced to focus on legal matters. This is another area where franchising and network marketing can help you jumpstart your business. Typically, when you purchase a franchise or join a network marketing organization, most of the necessary legal documents to start and grow your business will be provided for your use. This saves you not only a lot of money, but also a tremendous amount of time, and it allows you to focus your efforts on developing your business. it is still advisable to have your own counsel review the documents on your behalf. Some specific areas where proper legal counsel can help you avoid potential problems in legal aspects of a business are general corporate, choice of business entity, buy-sell agreements, business licenses, regulatory compliance, office lease or purchase contracts. Consumer laws instruments, terms and conditions, direct mail, product liability laws, truth in advertising laws, environmental laws. Contracts, with suppliers, with wholesale customers, with employees, uniform commercial code, warranties, jurisdiction. Intellectual property, work for hire agreements, non-disclosure agreements, copyrights, mask works, patents, trademarks, licensing of intellectual property. Labor laws, human resource issues, employee agreements, employee disputes, OSHA, workers' compensation contracts. Securities and debt instruments, equipment leasing of sales or purchase, loan documents, private placements, IPOs. Shareholder issues, corporate bylaws, board authority, stock issuance, mergers and acquisitions, spin-offs. Chapter 36, Product Management. The company's product, which the customer ultimately buys from the business, is the last important aspect of the BI triangle. It could be a tangible item, such as a hamburger, or an intangible item, such as consulting services. It is interesting to note that when evaluating a business, many average investors focus on the product rather than the rest of the business. Rich Dad thought that the product was the least important piece to inspect when evaluating a business. Many people come to me with ideas for new innovative products. My response is that the world is full of great products. People also say to me that their new idea or product is better than an existing product. Thinking that a better product or better service is most important is usually the domain of the E and S quadrant, where being the best or highest quality is important for success. In the B and I quadrants, however, the most important part of a new business is the system behind the product or idea, or the rest of the BI triangle. I then point out that most of us can cook a better hamburger than McDonald's, but few of us can build a better business system than McDonald's. Rich Dad's Guidance. In 1974, I decided I was going to learn to build a business following the model of the BI triangle. Rich Dad warned me, "Learning to build a business according to this model is high risk. Many people attempt it, but few accomplish it. However, although there is high risk at the start, if you learn how to build businesses, your earning potential is unlimited. For the people who are not willing to take the risk and don't wish to undertake such a steep learning curve, their risk may be lower, but so will their lifetime returns." I still recall experiencing the highest of highs and lowest of lows as I learned to build a solid business. I remember some of the advertising copy I wrote that never sold anything. I remember some of the brochures I wrote where no one could understand what I was trying to say. And I remember the struggle of learning to raise capital and learning to spend the investors' money wisely in the hopes of building a powerful business. I also remember going back to my investors and telling them that I had lost their money. I am forever grateful for the investors who understood and told me to come back when I had another venture for them to invest in. However, through it all, each mistake was a priceless learning experience as well as a character-building experience. As Rich Dad said, the risk at the start was very high. Yet, as I stuck it out and continued to learn, the rewards were unlimited. In 1974, I was very weak at every level of the BI triangle. I think I was weakest in cash flow management and communications management. Today, although I am still not great on any one sector of the triangle, I would say I am the strongest in cash flow management and communications management. Because I can create synergies among all the levels, my companies are successful. The point I make here is that even though I was not strong at the start, I continued with my learning process. For anyone who wants to acquire great wealth in this manner, I offer encouragement to start, practice, make mistakes, correct, learn, and improve. When I look at the 10% of Americans who control 90% of all the shares of stock in America and 73% of the wealth, I understand exactly where their wealth was derived. Many acquired that wealth in much the same way as Henry Ford and Thomas Edison, who was worth far more in his day than Bill Gates was at the same age. The list includes Bill Gates, Michael Dell, Warren Buffett, Rupert Murdoch, Anita Roddick, Richard Branson, and others who all acquired their wealth the same way. They found their spirit and their mission, built a business, and allowed others to share in the dreams, the risks, and the rewards. You can do the same thing if you want. Just follow the same diagram Rich Dad guided me with, the BI triangle. Helen Keller said, "True happiness is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose." The expression of the mission. Product is at the top of the BI triangle because it is the expression of the business's mission. It is what you are offering to your customer. The rest of the BI triangle lays the foundation for the long-term success of your business. If your communication to the marketplace is strong and your systems are set up to facilitate production, order processing, and fulfillment, your chances of success and profitability are increased. If your cash is managed properly, you will be able to sell your product successfully and support a strong growth curve for your business. The BI triangle and your ideas. Rich Dad said, "It is the BI triangle that gives shape to your ideas. It is knowledge of the BI triangle that allows a person to create an asset that buys other assets." Rich Dad guided me in learning how to create and build many BI triangles. Many of these businesses failed because I was not able to put all the pieces together harmoniously. When people ask me what caused some of my businesses to fail, it was very often the failure of one or more elements of the BI triangle. Rather than become permanently discouraged, as many people who fail become, Rich Dad encouraged me to keep practicing the building of these triangles. Instead of calling me a failure when my first big venture failed, Rich Dad encouraged me to continue on and learn how to build new triangles. He said, "The more you practice building these BI triangles, the easier it will be for you to create assets that buy other assets. If you diligently practice, it will become easier and easier for you to make more and more money. Once you are good at taking ideas and building a BI triangle around the idea, people will come to you and invest money with you. Then it will be true for you that it does not take money to make money. People will be giving you their money to make more money for yourself and for them. Instead of spending your life working for money, you will be getting better at creating assets that make more and more money." The BI triangle and the 90-10 rule go hand in hand. One day, while Rich Dad was teaching me more about the BI triangle, he made a comment I found interesting. He said, "There is a BI triangle inside each of us." Not understanding what he meant, I inquired further. Even though his explanation was a good one, it took me a while to realize how true his statement was. Today, whenever I find a person, a family, a business, a city, or a country that is having financial difficulties. To me, that means one or more segments of the BI triangle are missing or are out of sync with the other parts. When one or more parts of the BI triangle are not functioning, chances are good that the individual, family, or country will be in the 90% that are sharing in 10% of the money available. So if you, your family, or your business is struggling today, look at the model of the BI triangle and do an analysis of what can be changed or improved. Solving the BI triangle riddle. Rich Dad gave me another reason to begin mastering the BI triangle that I thought was unique. He said, "Your dad believes in hard work as the means of making money. Once you master the art of building BI triangles, you will find that the less you work, the more money you will make, and the more valuable what you are building becomes." At first, I did not understand what Rich Dad was saying, but after a number of years of practice, I understand more fully. Today, I meet people who work hard building a career, working their way up the corporate ladder, or building a practice based upon their reputation. These people generally come from the E and S quadrants. In order for me to become rich, I needed to learn to build and put together systems that could work without me. After my first BI triangle was built and I sold it, I realized what Rich Dad meant by the less I work, the more money I will make. He called that thinking solving the BI triangle riddle. If you are a person who is addicted to hard work, or what Rich Dad calls staying busy in your busyness and not building anything, then I would suggest sitting down with other people who are busy in busyness and discuss how working less can make you more money. I have found that the difference between people in the E and S quadrants and people in the B and I quadrants is that the E and S people are often too hands-on. Rich Dad used to say, "The key to success is laziness. The more hands-on you are, the less money you can make." One of the reasons so many people do not join the 90-10 Investor Club is that they are too hands-on when they should be seeking new ways of doing more with less and less. If you are going to become the kind of person who creates assets that buy other assets, you will need to find ways of doing less and less so you can make more and more. As Rich Dad said, the key to success is laziness. That is why he could create so many assets that bought other assets. He could not have done it if he were like my real dad, who was a very hard-working man. A summary of the BI triangle. The BI triangle as a whole represents a strong system of systems, supported by a team with a leader, all working towards a common mission. If one member of the team is weak or falters, the overall success of the business can be jeopardized. I would like to highlight three important points in summarizing the BI triangle. 1. Money always follows management. If any of the management functions of the BI triangle's five internal levels are weak, the company will be weak. If you are personally having financial difficulty or not having the excess cash flow that you desire, you can often find the weak spots by analyzing each level. Once you identify your weakness, you may then want to consider turning it into your strength or hiring someone else with that strength. 2. Some of the best investments and businesses are the ones you walk away from. If any of the five levels are weak and the management is not prepared to strengthen them, it is best to walk away from the investment. Too many times, I have discussed the five levels of the BI triangle with a management team with which I am considering investing, and I hear arguments instead of discussion. When business owners or business teams are weak in any of the five levels, they will become defensive rather than receptive to questioning. If they do become defensive rather than excited to identify and correct a weakness, I usually walk away from the investment. I have on a wall in my house a photo of a pig I took in Fiji. Under it is printed, "Don't teach pigs to sing. It wastes your time and it annoys the pigs." There are too many excellent investments out there to waste your time trying to teach pigs to sing. 3. The computer and the internet make the BI triangle more available, affordable, and manageable for everyone. It has never been easier to access great wealth. In the industrial age, you needed millions of dollars to build a car factory. Today, with a used computer, some brain power, a phone, and a little education in each of the five aspects of the BI triangle, the world can be yours. If you still desire to build a business on your own, there has never been greater opportunity for success. I recently met a young man who sold his small internet company to a major computer software company for $28 million. All he said to me was, "I made $28 million at the age of 28. How much will I make when I am 48? If you want to be an entrepreneur who builds successful businesses or invests in businesses, the entire BI triangle must be strong and interdependent. If it is, the business will grow and flourish. The good news is that if you are a team player, you don't have to be an expert at every level of the BI triangle. Just become part of a team with a clear vision, a strong mission, and an iron stomach. From BI triangle to business tetrahedron. A business with a defined mission, a determined leader, and a qualified and unified team begins to take shape as the sections of the BI triangle come together. This is when the BI triangle becomes three-dimensional and turns into a tetrahedron. The point of completion is the introduction of integrity. The definition of integrity is wholeness, entirety, as well as perfect condition and soundness. The more common definition of integrity is honesty or sincerity. While the definitions may sound different, they are in fact the same. A business that is run with honesty and sincerity and is built on the principles of the BI triangle will become complete, whole, and sound. Phase 4. Who is a sophisticated investor? Chapter 37. How a sophisticated investor thinks. Now that you understand the BI triangle, are you ready to build a business? Rich Dad asked me. Yes, absolutely. Even though it is a little intimidating, I replied. There is so much to remember. That's the point, Robert. Once you build a successful business, you will have the skills to build as many as you want. You will also have the skills to analyze other businesses from the outside before you invest in them. It still seems like an impossible mission, I replied. Maybe it is because you're thinking of building huge businesses, Rich Dad continued. Of course I am. I'm going to be rich, I answered vehemently. To learn the skills needed for the BI triangle, you need to start small. Even a hot dog cart or a small rental home needs its own BI triangle. Every component of the BI triangle applies to even the smallest business. You will make mistakes. If you learn from those mistakes, you can build bigger and bigger businesses. In the process, you will become a sophisticated investor. So, learning to build a business will make me a sophisticated investor? I asked. Is that all it takes? If you learn the lessons along the way and build a successful business, you can become a sophisticated investor, Rich Dad continued as he brought out his yellow pad. It's making the first $1 million that's difficult. After you've made the first million, the next 10 million are easy. Let's discuss what makes a successful business person and investor a sophisticated investor. Who is a sophisticated investor? A sophisticated investor is an investor who understands each of the 10 investor controls. The sophisticated investor understands and benefits from the advantages of the right side of the cash flow quadrant. Let's go through each investor control so you get a better understanding of how a sophisticated investor thinks, Rich Dad explained. The 10 investor controls. The 10 investor controls are control over 1. Yourself. 2. Income expense ratios and asset liability ratios. 3. Management of the investment. 4. Taxes. 5. When you buy and when you sell. 6. Brokerage transactions. 7. ETC, entity, timing, characteristics. 8. Terms and conditions of the agreements. 9. Access to information. 10. Giving it back, philanthropy. Investor control number 1. Control over yourself. The most important control you must have as an investor is control over yourself. It can determine your success as an investor and is why the entire first phase of the book is dedicated to getting control over yourself. Rich Dad often said, "It isn't the investment that is risky. It is the investor who is risky." Most of us were taught in school to become employees. There was only one right answer, and making mistakes was horrible. We were not taught financial literacy in school. It takes a lot of work and time to change your thinking and to become financially literate. A sophisticated investor knows that there are multiple right answers, that the best learning comes through making mistakes, and that financial literacy is essential to be successful. They know their own financial statement, and they understand how each financial decision they make will ultimately impact their financial statement. They're always thinking. And to become rich, you must teach yourself to think like a rich person. Investor control number 2. Control over income expense ratios and asset liability ratios. This control is developed through financial literacy. My rich dad taught me the 3 cash flow patterns of the poor, middle class, and the rich. The poor spend every penny they make. They have no assets. Individuals in the middle class accumulate more debt as they become more successful. A pay raise qualifies them to borrow more money from the bank so they can buy personal items like bigger cars, vacation homes, boats, and motorhomes. Their wage income comes in and is spent on current expenses and then on paying off this personal debt. As their income increases, so does their personal debt. This is what we call the rat race. The rich have their assets work for them. They have gained control over their expenses and focus on acquiring or building assets. Their businesses pay most of their expenses, and they have few, if any, personal liabilities. I decided at an early age that I wanted to have the cash flow pattern of a rich person. You may have a cash flow pattern that is a combination of these 3 types. What story does your financial statement tell? Are you in control of your expenses? Buy assets, not liabilities. Sophisticated investors buy assets that put money in their pockets. It is just that simple. Turn personal expenses into business expenses. Sophisticated investors understand that businesses are allowed to deduct all the ordinary and necessary expenses paid or incurred for the business. They analyze their expenses and convert non-deductible personal expenses into deductible business expenses whenever possible. Not every expense will be an allowable deduction. Review your business and personal expenses with your financial and tax advisors so that you can maximize the deductions available to you through your business. Some examples of personal expenses that could be legitimate business expenses are personal expense, computer, business expense, business equipment, justification, business use. Personal expense, phone, business expense, business equipment. Justification, use your phone to call clients. Personal expense, meals out, business expense, business meals. Justification, note business purpose and with whom. Personal expense, medical expense. Business expense, medical reimbursement. Justification, adopt medical reimbursement plan. Personal expense, tuition. Business expense, education. Justification, authorize and document applicability for business. Personal expense, home costs. Business expense, home office. Justification, follow guidelines. Track all home expenses and reimburse based on square footage. These are just a few examples of the types of business expenses that are deductible expenses for business owners. The same expenses are not usually deductible for employees. Your expenses must be properly documented and have a legitimate business purpose. Can you think of expenses you are paying personally today that could be deductible business expenses if you owned a business? Investor control number 3. Control over the management of the investment. An inside investor who owns enough of an interest in the investment to control the management decisions has this type of investor control. It can be as a sole owner or where the investor owns enough of an interest that he or she is involved in the decision-making process. The skills learned through building a successful business using the BI triangle are essential to this investor. Once the investor possesses these skills, he or she is better able to analyze the effectiveness of the management of other potential investments. If the management appears competent and successful, the investor is more comfortable investing funds. Investor control number 4, control over taxes. The sophisticated investor has learned about the tax laws either through formal study or by asking questions and listening to good advisors. The right side of the cash flow quadrant provides certain tax advantages that the sophisticated investor uses thoughtfully to minimize taxes paid and to increase tax deferrals wherever possible. In the United States, those in the B and I quadrants enjoy many tax advantages that are not available to those in the E and S quadrants. Three specific advantages are 1. Social insurance taxes, such as Social Security, Medicare tax, unemployment tax, and disability income, are not deducted from passive and portfolio income, right side of the cash flow quadrant, but are deducted from ordinary earned income, left side of the cash flow quadrant. 2. It may be possible to defer payment of taxes, perhaps indefinitely, by using the laws available to you related to real estate and owning a company. An example would be a profit-sharing plan sponsored by your business corporation. 3. C corporations may pay for a number of expenditures with pre-tax dollars that E quadrant income recipients must pay for with after-tax dollars. Some examples are included under investor control number 2. Sophisticated investors recognize that each country, state, and province has different tax laws, and they are prepared to move their business affairs to the place best suited for what they are doing. Recognizing that taxes are the largest expense in the E and S quadrants, sophisticated investors may well seek to reduce their income in order to reduce income taxes while increasing funds for investment simultaneously. Investor control number 5. Control over when you buy and when you sell. The sophisticated investor knows how to make money in an upmarket as well as in a down market. In building a business, the sophisticated investor has great patience. I sometimes refer to this patience as delayed gratification. A sophisticated investor understands that the true financial reward is after the investment or business becomes profitable and can be sold or taken public. Investor control number 6, control over brokerage transactions. Sophisticated investors operating as inside investors can direct how the investment is sold or expanded. As outside investors in other companies, sophisticated investors carefully track the performance of their investments and direct their broker to buy or sell. Many investors today rely on their brokers to know when to buy and sell. These investors are not sophisticated. Investor control number 7. Control over the ETC, entity, timing, characteristics. Next to control over yourself, the control over the ETC is the most important control, Rich Dad would repeat often. To have control over the entity, timing, and characteristics of your income, you need to understand corporate, security, and tax law. Rich Dad truly understood the benefits offered through choosing the right entity with the right year-end and converting as much ordinary earned income into passive and portfolio income as possible. This, combined with the ability to read financial statements and to think in terms of financial statements, helped Rich Dad build his financial empire more quickly. To illustrate what proper ETC planning can do, let's review the following case studies about James and Kathy. Case number 1, sole proprietorship. James and Kathy are the absentee owners of a restaurant. The restaurant is operated as a sole proprietorship. Their net income from the restaurant is $60,000. James and Kathy have one financial statement. Case number 2, personal plus two corporations. James and Kathy met with their financial and tax advisors to structure their businesses to maximize their cash flow and minimize the amount they must pay in taxes. James and Kathy now own two corporations. One corporation owns the restaurant, and the other corporation owns the building where the restaurant is located. James is the general manager for both corporations. James and Kathy now have three sets of financial statements that impact their financial position: a personal financial statement, plus a second statement for the restaurant business, and a third statement for the restaurant building, real estate. How did James and Kathy benefit by setting up this two-corporation structure? 1. James and Kathy can convert certain personal expenses into legitimate business expenses: health insurance, legal and accounting expenses, education expenses, and a home office and auto deduction. 2. They were able to reduce the total amount paid in taxes by $7,885. 3. They were able to put $12,000 into a retirement fund. 4. Both number 2 and number 3 were made possible although they reduced their personal income to zero. 5. They have protected their personal assets by putting their business operations into two corporations. The corporation for the real estate company is owned 100% by James. The corporation for the restaurant company is owned 100% by Kathy. Now, let's compare case number 1 of a sole proprietorship to case number 2 with two corporations. Taxes paid, case number 1, $14,200. Case number 2, $6,315. Difference, $7,885. Income, retirement funds, case number 1, zero. Case number 2, $12,000. Income personal, case number 1, $5,600. Case number 2, zero. Income restaurant, case number 1, zero. Case number 2, $1,275. Income real estate, case number 1, zero. Case number 2, $210. Total cash flow, case number 1, $5,600. Case number 2, $13,485. Difference, $7,885. The end result of this financial plan for James and Kathy is that they have added $7,885 to their personal wealth by saving $7,885 in taxes. More importantly, however, they have protected their personal assets by moving their businesses into corporations. By having validly established corporations, their personal assets should be safe even if a judgment is awarded against one of the corporations. For instance, if a customer becomes ill in the restaurant, he or she can sue the corporation that owns the restaurant. Any judgment against the restaurant corporation would be paid out of the assets of that corporation. The corporation that owns the building and the personal assets of James and Kathy should be protected. James and Kathy's example is very simplified and provided for illustration purposes only. It is extremely important that you seek professional legal and tax advice before structuring your own financial plan. You must consider many complex issues to ensure you comply with all laws. More control, not less. Rich Dad would say, once you can think automatically in financial statements, you can then operate multiple businesses as well as evaluate other investments quickly. However, most importantly, once you can think in financial statements, you will gain even greater control over your financial life and make even more money. Money that the average person doesn't realize can be made. Rich Dad nodded, saying, and technically, what am I doing? You are taking earned income from your restaurant business and converting it into passive income for your real estate company. In other words, you are paying yourself. And that is just the beginning, said Rich Dad. Yet I want to caution you from here on in, you will need the best accounting and legal advice possible. This is where unsophisticated investors begin to get into trouble. They get into trouble because this scenario can be done legally and it can be done illegally. Investor control number 8. Control over the terms and conditions of the agreements. The sophisticated investor is in control over the terms and conditions of agreements when he or she is on the inside of the investment. For instance, when I rolled over the sale of several of my small houses into a small apartment building, I used a Section 1031 exchange, U.S. law, which allowed me to roll over the gain. I did not have to pay any taxes on the sale because I controlled the terms and conditions of the agreements. Investor control number 9. Control over access to information. As an inside investor, the sophisticated investor again has control over access to information. This is where the investor needs to understand the legal requirements of insiders imposed by the SEC in the United States. Other countries have similar oversight organizations. Investor control number 10. Control over giving it back, philanthropy. The sophisticated investor recognizes the social responsibility that comes with wealth and gives back to society. This may be through charitable giving and philanthropy. Some of it will be through capitalism, by creating jobs and expanding the economy. Chapter 38, Analyzing Investments. The numbers tell a story, my rich dad would say. If you can learn to read financial statements, you can see what is happening within any company or investment. My rich dad taught me how he used financial ratios to manage his businesses. Whether it is an investment in the stock of a company or purchase of real estate, I always analyze the financial statements. I can determine how profitable a business is or how highly leveraged a business is just by looking at its financial statements and calculating financial ratios. For a real estate investment, I calculate what the cash-on-cash return will be based on the amount of cash I need to spend for the down payment. The bottom line always comes back to financial literacy. This chapter will cover some of the important concepts and thought processes every sophisticated investor goes through in choosing investments for their financial plan. Financial ratios of a company. financial ratios for investing in real estate, natural resources, good debt or bad debt, investing and saving. Financial ratios of a company. Gross margin percentage is the gross margin divided by sales, which tells you what percentage of sales is left after deducting the cost of goods sold. The gross margin is sales minus the cost of goods sold. Rich Dad would say, if the gross isn't there, there'll be no net income. How high the gross margin percentage needs to be depends on how a business is organized and the other costs it has to support. After calculating the gross margin percentage, Rich Dad's convenience stores still had to rent the building, pay the clerks, the utilities, the taxes, and government permit fees, pay for wasted or damaged goods, and a long list of other expenses. Then they had to have enough left over to give Rich Dad a good return on his original investment. For internet e-commerce sites today, these additional costs are usually much lower, so these businesses can afford to sell and make a profit with a lower gross margin percentage. The higher the gross margin, the better. Gross margin percentage equals gross margin, sales, cost of goods sold, divided by sales. Net operating margin percentage tells you the net profitability of the operations of the business before you factor in your taxes and cost of money. EBIT stands for earnings before interest and taxes, or sales minus all costs of being in that business, not including capital costs, interest, taxes, dividends. The ratio of EBIT to sales is called the net operating margin percentage. Businesses with high net operating margin percentages are typically stronger than those with low percentages. The higher the net operating margin, the better. Net operating margin percentage equals EBIT divided by sales. Operating leverage is the percentage of fixed costs in a company's cost structure.